morning, everybody. Welcome back to Total Disruption. I am super excited today because our guest is David Grawl Sr. David, welcome to Total Disruption, man. How are you today?
Pleasure to be here. Thank you. I'm having a great day.
That's awesome. It's so refreshing to run into somebody that's having a great day because I seem to be running into people that are just having chronically bad days. So this is an upgrade for me so far.
I didn't watch the news this morning, so that helped.
Yeah, it does, right? I mean, listen, it's always good to do high-powered interviews during the day as well, right? So let's dive in, right? With disruption, we talk to entrepreneurs, we talk to business owners, and people that are seeking some mental and sort of performance advice. And you're an author, you know, you've been on a bunch of stages, you've done things, you've been around business. I believe, weren't you a lawyer at some point?
I was. I'm a former lawyer.
Right. So you're a former lawyer. So you've got a little bit of the academia behind you. You've gone the gauntlet. You've been there. You've done that. The founder's treadmill. Now, the thing that really sparks me about this corner of the globe is this is a secondary epidemic / pandemic in the entrepreneur and business world. People are busy. They're working. They're doing things. They're building a business. They might have success. They might have stratospheric success, but they're not living a life. They're not totally fulfilled. Tell me, I try to coach on this in our programs, but tell me, what got you into this sphere of the world? Like, let's talk about that. How did you end up being here?
One of the books I wrote is called Building with the End in Mind. And so I'm going to start at the end of the story for me, more or less. So I retired about 3 years ago. I retired from a business that I started and built and ran for about 28 years. And we started with two people. Basically, built it on my small two-person law firm. And 28 years later, we had 65 people on staff, last I counted. And had a terrific business. And then I gradually sold out and retired from it. But what I really enjoyed doing, even while I worked there, I like to write. I'm an English major, from Purdue University. High school, I was elected most likely to be an author. And Michael, I just never quite got around to it. So when I retired, I had a lot of things to say. And having just retired, and I felt pretty successful. I made a good amount of money from the sale of my business. I decided to sit down and put my energies into telling people how to do it right, because I didn't do everything right. You know, there's one thing about being in your late 60s and having the gift of hindsight and look back. And since I like to write, I just started writing it out and telling people, okay, if you could start all over and know what I know, here's what you should do.
Wow. So, built a business, hired, so it's 65 people, so that's 63 headaches you hired. You managed those 63 headaches for 28 years, and then you got out of Dodge and got paid for it. I love it. I love the summary. And when I say 63 headaches, for those of you that have not scaled, or those of you that are not in a coworker environment, this might not be a conversation you're attuned to, but to try to get 65 people the message that you're trying, 63 people, the message that you and your partner are trying to get out there, both in company brand, company representations, goals, ideas, it's not an easy task. It's a subset of a subset. Yeah. It is getting everybody on the team on mission, keeping them on mission, and dedicating special energy to try to get them to get the impact out to the public that you're trying to get, right? So let's talk about that a little bit, if you don't mind, because I think right there is a secret sauce. Finding the right people, aligning them with the right mission, empowering them with the right tools that they're not founder dependent, to use your words. And lastly, who'd have thought your high school would have had it right, most likely to be an author, right? Jeez. I mean, normally that's like a gag, right? Normally that's like a sidekick. It's never true.
So I took advanced English classes at Notre Dame. We grew up in that kind of South Bend, Indiana area when we were a kid. And so I had a wonderful professor who, you know, in high school had a PhD in English Lit, and he just kind of took me under his wing, and he taught me everything. And he was on a sabbatical kind of from Notre Dame, University of Notre Dame. And so he came down to the high school and taught for a couple of years and changed my life. I had to go out and make a living, and I didn't know or think I could do it writing, but eventually I got around to it, and now that's what I do full time. But Michael, to answer your question, let me just, you know, how do you get all that stuff done in a business with 65 people and run it like a real business? So the more fun part of the answer is, well, that's not where I started. So you know, I came out of law school not to disparage all attorneys, but we come out, we're aggressive thinkers. And you know, most of us were straight A students in high school. And we spend, you know, thousands of hours honing our craft. So we think we're pretty smart. And so I was a securities regulator for a few years working for the government. It took me 2 years to learn. I'm not a government worker. But I came out and I opened my own law practice, right? And I just naturally assumed that with 11 years of post-high school education and a couple of degrees, I could run a business. All right, well, you know, Amazon wasn't around then. You want to buy a book on running a business, you went to your local Hallmark bookstore. I don't think Barnes & Noble was around in the early 1990s, not where I lived. So I just went out and I just did it. And I thought, well, the secret sauce is work really hard and control everything. If I could touch it all, I could make sure nothing went wrong. And I'm smiling when I say that because I've met, you know, hundreds of people, maybe thousands that I've met and worked with over the last 30 years who all thought the same thing. And so you open up a little business and it's all about you, right? You've got a passion, you've got the energy, you've got some special knowledge, something to offer to the world. And you jump out there and you go. And so what happens on day one? You jump on that founder's treadmill and you run. And little by little, you know, you start to have some success. You survive those first couple of years, the clients show up, you start to figure out your systems and processes a little bit, and then money starts to come in, and you think, I'm good at this. And then you hire some help. And so in my small law practice, and as I gradually grew it into a consulting firm, I ended up with about 10 people working for me. And I look back on that, I thought that I was building in scale. I thought that I was building in a real business. What I did, and again, this is what I think so many people do, and that's why I wrote the book, The Founder's Treadmill. You think of it like a hub and like a wheel, with a, you know, hub and spokes, like a bicycle wheel. So the founder is the hub, right? And then everything you build around it, all the people, all the systems, all the processes, are designed to route through the hub. All day long, people would walk into my office. Hey, boss, I got one quick question. Boss, we got a problem. Boss, this client needs to talk to you. Nobody else can sell them but you. All the opportunities came to me, and I loved it. But I got busier and busier and busier. And at one point, we hit, I think in year 6 or 7, we hit our first $1 million in gross revenue, right? You kind of remember those days. That's really cool because now you're sure you can do it. I was working about 85 hours a week. I had no business unless it all came through me. And so I felt good that I could control it, but I was out of, I couldn't run any faster on that treadmill. I was simply out of gas. And despite all my education, I didn't know what to do next. That's
well. If I'm hearing you correctly, right, you basically took those 10 people and turned them into marketing / referral arms for you. Basically, all things flowed through you. Yeah. So you just 10x your inbound and you didn't 10x your outbound. You 1x your outbound. And okay, so you did scale a little bit. You went from 1 to 10, right? But you know, not only were you managing the people, the deal flow, maybe not every deal flow, but the deal flow started. And I've been that guy. I have been that, hey, boss or hey, owner, I brought a deal, I brought the person or a customer, and either I don't have the education or the authority to make this deal happen, and I don't want to screw it up, but I want to get a commission. So, you know, there's definitely a intelligence there. But like you said, once you start amplifying that and amplifying that and amplifying that, you think about it, if you're working 85 hours a week, and we've all been there, those of us that have, not all of us have been there, but all of us that have run and tried to scale or in process have been there. And you start realizing youth is definitely wasted on the young. And, you know, it's the repeat behavior snaps in your head. You said, really, I am on the founder's treadmill. Yeah. I am just doing the same thing 10x because now I have 10 referral agents. So then how do you bridge the gap? Where do you release control? And then I don't want to use the word succession planning because that's not what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's not it.
How do you begin that phase of empowerment? And then how do you as the owner start to like trust that process? And about how long, everyone's different, but for you, from the time you said, hey, no more, uncle, to the time it took effect, about how long was that and how do you kind of do that?
Well, so in my book, The Founder's Treadmill, you know, about the first, I'll say 30% of the book, 30%, I talk about realizing where you're at. I mean, you know, people get on this treadmill and they run and they take total control and they sell themselves, they sell their passions. And I'll just say, we as entrepreneurs tend to think that's the way to do it. And the reason that's so hard to see for what it is, for the first two or three years at least, that's how you survive, right? That treadmill as your operating system, where everything just runs through you, it hides lack of capital, it hides lack of talent, it hides lack of clients, and it makes up for unprofessional business systems and processes. And it works for a while, mm-hmm. until it doesn't. And so the first third of the book is realizing that the founder's treadmill is an operating system. It just isn't one built to last. The middle third of the book or so, and directly to answer your question, is I laid out a five-year plan with three upgrades per year. Or you could take 10 years if you want to. I did it in about three. But you know, as you move from a treadmill system where you're the hub of the wheel to a business network with systems and processes and entity structure, profitability, sustainable growth, learning how to hire not just help, but for capacity. And then again, you use the good word, authorizing. You've got to give your help and the people you hire authority. Well, how do you do that when you're used to being in control? You got to write down your systems and processes. You got to get what's in your head out on paper and build it. So fastest you could go is probably 3 years. 5 years is comfortable, but just, you know, to take any air out of the balloon, 25 years later, I was still doing it. You're never done. But if you really want to make the turn and you know, jump off that treadmill, it'll take about 3 to 5 years. So best get started.
Wow. Okay. So 3 to 5 years. And that's a mature reality. I'm reading this book right now. It's called The Psychology of Money. And it's fantastic. It's a fantastic book. And I highly recommend it for anybody that's out there and really wants a good perspective in people. It highlights all different kinds of investment success and what really happened. And it showcases the psychological behavior behind successful investors and the psychological behavior behind some of the realities, let's say, behind Warren Buffett. You know, if you take Warren Buffett's entire portfolio and you break it down over his 90 years or 70 years of investing, because he started when he was 10 and he's 80, he had 11 really good trades and really good moves out of 130 or something crazy. If you take those 11 out, he would have been an average investor. Not saying that everyone would be like that, but it's psychology. but it talks about how his steadiness and his psychology. And that's really what I'm taking away from this little excerpt here is the psychology. And that's what I'm picking up from you. It's a mentality. It's a 3 to 5 year mentality. And when you make the shift to say, I'm done with this and I've got to do that, the 3 to 5 years is definitely a mature goal, because you have to get, in your case, the beginning, you hired more people, but now you have to get the 10 people that are already on board. They have an exponential factor as well. You empower this new system to these people. They've got to learn it, assimilate it, do it. Any new hires have to learn it, assimilate it, and do it. And I guess you have to make sure that you're not repeating old behaviors. It sounds like it's worth doing, because either way, right? Repetition is the mother of all skill, but doing the same thing over and over again is the definition of insanity without expecting the same result, right? So we're in the same boat here. But I love it. I love the idea that 3 to 5 years, but you have to begin, you have to want to do it. What are some signs that people are on the founder's treadmill?
Yeah, the first 30% of the book was just slowing down long enough to realize where you're at and why you need to solve this problem. Because the founder's treadmill is what got you there. It's what got all of us, to that second, third, fourth, fifth year of business and helped us survive and overcome all of the things we didn't have as a small business owner. But at some point, you get going so fast and you get so focused on next job, next job, next job, more money, you forget to look down and say, wait a minute, this is how I started, but this isn't how it lasts. And so getting people to recognize that they're on that treadmill and that it's no longer an attribute, it's now a problem. That's hard. That's psychology in it, right? Because, I'm a technician. The 5 years, the 15 upgrades, those are mostly mechanical, technical steps. But I admit it right out of the gate. The hardest part for me in doing all that was changing how I thought about the business. And then I had hired people to serve me, right? I didn't empower them to do anything. They had to bring it to me. I was the smartest guy in the room. I had the most experience. I wanted to be in control. And I wanted to hit that $1 million threshold as fast as humanly possible. So bring it all to me. I'll show you how to do it. So when we started to change and get off the treadmill and build what I call a real powerful business, I still had 10 employees who wanted to bring it all to me. And their job was not to do what the business required of them. Their job was to make me happy. And I had to change, and then I had to change them. And sometimes you can't. Sometimes you just have to hire new people.
Right. I had to be tough. Making those decisions had to be a little bit tough. People that have been with you for a while. Listen, owning a business is definitely not easy. No. And it's not for everybody, because you have to make those ultimate decisions. Yeah. But what it sounds like, again, we're going back to psychology, and what it sounds like, the founder's treadmill. By the way, where do I get the founder's treadmill? Where can I buy this book?
So the best place to start is on my website, davidgrausr.com. And so the book is up, open for pre-order on April 15th. And then it goes up for sale on May 1st.
I'm getting this book, man.
Yeah. And by the way, it's this book, all my other previous books, are about 80 to 100,000 words. They're full of details and all this. This is called I call it a field guide, Michael. It's not, you could read it in a weekend. I'm a slow reader, so it'd take me 6 or 7 hours. But it's a smaller book. It's built, stick it in your back pocket if you want to, but it's built to look at off and on over the next 5, 6, 10 years. But it's a very reader-friendly book that's built to actually help you do this. And one last point, not everybody needs to get off the treadmill, and I think you alluded to that as well. Sometimes you just need to get control of it. And in other words, I have a lot of my friends, some of them are lawyers, financial advisors. They like running their own business, and they like being the center of the universe. What they want to do is have a better operational system, but they still want to stay on the treadmill. So a good part of the book also simply says, Listen, there are middle steps here. There's a middle ground. And if you'd like to stay on your treadmill, but still have more control over your universe and a stronger business to work for you, I'll show you how to do that too.
That's pretty powerful. And again, we're talking about the psychology of the whole thing and the tactical steps from somebody that's been there and done that, that's experienced the burn, that's experienced the zeal, that's experienced the success, that's experienced the trenches, and has taken the time to be able to put it down into information that's digestible by the public or the interested people, and then applied, right? And in my head, right, as a coach and as a broadcaster and as a person that has seen people rise and fall in business, even if you want to stay on the treadmill, at some point you are going to want to get off. Whether you want to sell your business, whether you want to disassemble it and sell the assets, or if it's you're one of those people that just wants to sell off and say, okay, I've made enough money and I'm doing my whatever, Roth IRA or whatever somebody else, I can't speak for people's visions, but listen, you work 28 years in a business or 40 years or 50 years in a business, chances are you're eventually going to want to sell it. And the impact you've created a customer base, you want that customer base as your karmic payback to be taken care of by someone else, and you want something to be shown for the things that you've amassed. You don't just want to disassemble it and get rid of it. You might as well start working on it while it's going, wouldn't you say?
So I wrote a book for people who are what I call a force of one. And so you might have help around you, but if everything routes through you, you need to read this book. And it's, you know, it's a nice, relatively easy read. There's a lot of detail in it, but it's built for the small business owner who's already too busy, Michael. And I wrote it for that person, and it's written in that style. I think people will find it very comforting and liberating, and it'll give you some good choices.
Well, can I ask you something a little bit off topic, but on topic? When it comes to being an author, and I've co-written two books, and I have, I've been a part of a lot of different writing projects, but I've never actually written my own book. And how do you even get started? And I realize, you know, we don't have unlimited time, but
sure.
If somebody's thinking about writing a book, how do you even begin to write a book?
For me, I go for a long, long walk. I walk about 7 miles a day, and I leave my phone at home, and it's where I do my best thinking. And you got to see the big picture. You know, and where I start with is this, you know, what do I want to say to the world? Don't worry about word count or, you know, what your book's going to look like. What do I have to say? And second, what is it that I think I know better than, you know, maybe I don't have to know it better than anyone in the world, but what is it I'm really, really good at and passionate about? And then when you find out what you want to say and, you know, write what you know is what my English teachers always told me, that's where I start. I'm old-fashioned. I get out a legal pad and a piece of paper, and I start to write. I don't go to AI for this stuff. I do use AI. In the 21st century, you'd be foolish not to. But that's not how I write a book. I sit down, and I start writing. And I made a decision early on. I've written, you know, 6 books, so I figured this out after a couple of books. There is no such thing as writer's block. When it's time to write, you write. It doesn't matter. No one's going to see it. And out of a 100,000-word book, I write 1 million-plus words. 900,000 of those words, no one will ever see. But that's how you learn to write. You know, 6 books later, I literally have written 6 million words, and I've published about, you know, 300,000 of them. That's how you learn to write. Sit down and just write. You got all the time in the world to shape it and to get your voice right. You'll go through 7 or 8 drafts. You'll go through editing. It'll get there. Figure out what you want to say and write about what you're passionate about. It'll come.
So in this case, with this particular book, let's just recap because we've got about a minute left here, unfortunately. I wish we could talk all day. I could sit here and ask you about a bazillion questions. Precise. I feel like, you know, 65 people you've employed. How many years in business?
I was in that business I ran for about 28 years.
28 years in business, 65 people, hundreds of thousands of hours, millions of dollars in sales and business and whatever it might be. We won't call it sales, but millions of dollars in revenue gross. And you've amassed to be able to truncate that down into an essence book called The Founder's Treadmill. I know you have six other books. There's probably more in you. Obviously, you can't take all that knowledge and every single detail is in this book. But what an accomplishment, David. Thank you so much for being here. Any parting words for our audience before we cut you loose here?
In 30 seconds, if you're going to start a small business, or probably you already have, you know, people say, well, I like to keep things as simple as possible. I'm sorry, small business isn't simple. If you want to build something that takes care of you and your family, has real value, and gives you good options when you do think about slowing down, that's not simple. You need to learn how to do it right. My books will help you get there.
Amen. Thanks, David. So on behalf of David, my co-host, Jay Clendenning, I'm Mike Liberce. We'll see you again next time on Total Disruption.
Thank you.